Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Good day, everyone, and welcome back to this podcast series on the digital dilemma. We are talking all the different facets of the digital world and everything that children can get exposed to. We are talking about gaming and we're talking about screen time and pornography. There's so many subjects that we need to cover, but today specifically, we are going to continue where we left off with the previous podcast with regards to demonic games. And once more, we have Aldred on the line. Welcome, Aldred.
Hello, everybody. It's nice to be with you again today.
Yeah, it's good to have you back because we need to finish this conversation on demonic games. And we, in the previous podcast, we talk a lot about Diablo and the characters of Diablo. Not only the characters, but also the kind of acts that these characters are doing with regards to, you know, spell casting and talking to demons and having the character of a wizard. And that is in itself is quite shocking. But another thing that I want us to address on this podcast specifically is when these children have their earphones on, what are they listening to and what are they hearing with regards to, let's go back to the demonic games and to what we have talked about with regards to Diablo 4. You know, what is the sounds and the music and the language that these children are listening to?
Yeah, I can recall when I was playing Diablo, it was normally in the very, very early hours of the morning, like 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock and 12 o'clock. And I can recall, you know, Diablo's got a really, really, very eerie kind of music. And it's especially when you're traveling through, you know, the dungeons and the caves, you know, obviously hearing the sounds as they reverberate in your ear. It is really kind of a eerie and a scary thing, thinking about it now when I was playing that. I'm also reminded back, you know, when I was playing another game. I think the game was called Undead or something like that. And I can still, you know, it's almost like trauma. I can still see exactly the way I was playing the game, what I was hearing. I remember, you know, the whole storyline was a whole family that was mass murdered, and you had to go investigate into the murders. A very, very kind of also evil storyline. And I was remembering walking down this long corridor, you know, obviously with curtains blowing across from the one side, completely dark, you know, in the background hearing like wolves crying, you know, banshees yelling and stuff like that. And you're thinking, oh, any minute now, something really bad's going to happen. And as you're walking through this corridor, you know, and it's really, really scary. Think about it now. It's almost like you want to feel scared, but it's not normal. You know, who wants to feel scared? But to bring it back to the question, obviously, creating this ambiance of sounds and atmosphere is very important for the game developers to even pull you further into the virtuality of the game. Not even just playing demonic characters, you know, casting spells, but also listening, you know. And obviously you also know that the auditory part of your sensory cortex in the brain is a very big part. So obviously, you know, listening to this, there's a lot of these impulses affecting your emotions and
yes,
your mood. And we also know that the more you listen to these things as they come in, it physically changes the wiring of your brain. And that is basically why when you listen to evil stuff continuously, you are drawn to more kind of evil music, listening more to metal. And this is, again, coming back to things like GTA, you know, the music you're listening to, getting more to kind of a very hard rock metal kind of vibe, you know, creating the right ambience for aggression, for
yes,
rage, and stuff like that, you know. So we need to understand that this is an engineering of of a thing. You have to engineer all the components to get the right effect, and that is why there are billions of dollars invested every single year into engineering addiction,
yes,
engineering these games. And like I said, or always say in the talks, you know, when you have a team of highly educated behavioral engineers designing a game, your child of 5 or 6 or 7 year old has got no chance against a team of behavioral engineers.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and if you read articles on how they've engineered these games, like you say, you know, sound is one part that was specifically engineered. And going back to the theme of Diablo, where the slogan is "Welcome to Hell," so the sounds that they need to recreate was like sounds of chains rattling and people like laughing, and so they need to create this absolute horror effect, you know. And that's also the reason why a game like Diablo is rated 18. But now we do get, and me and you know this for a fact, that we have 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old children on this platform listening to these absolute horrific sounds, doing this demonic act, playing basically with demons. And you are wondering, why am my child's aggression is increasing? Why are they not sleeping? Why are they scared and anxious? You know, why do they have nightmares? I recall one story of a boy coming to me, and he was also playing these demonic games. And he said to me that one of these demonic entities appeared to him at night. And he recalled seeing this demon entity. And this demonic entity said to him, he was not supposed to speak to me anymore. Remember this, and I'm going to say it in Afrikaans. This demon said to him, "Moenie meer met Tannie Anke praat nie, want sy gaan my wegjaag." Can you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it very clearly. Yes.
So yes, you know, you are literally playing on the devil's doorstep by doing these things and opening up your spirit, soul, and body. But then you've mentioned GTA, which stands for Grand Theft Auto. So a lot of parents will think, but when my child plays a silly car game, what is wrong with a car game? So, Aldred, is there something wrong with Grand Theft Auto or GTI or just like a normal car game?
Well, there's nothing wrong with a normal car game. If you think about a car or a racing simulator, you know, I think, you know, of games like, you know, Grand Prix. But now, GTA is not Grand Prix. It's completely different. GTA is exposure to you know, a kind of a almost like a thug life kind of lifestyle. You know, I can be anything I want to. I can be a drug lord. I can have my own you know, stripping house. You know, I can visit prostitutes and stuff like that. This is the kind of stuff they introduce into GTA. And obviously, you can choose what kind of storyline you want to follow, but this is what it's based on. Obviously, the kind of story of, you know, I'll get a guy driving a Ferrari, I like the Ferrari, so I'm going to open up his door, I'm going to knock him over the head with a baseball bat, and normally kill him, and then I'm going to take his car and drive off, and then with this car I'm going to visit prostitutes, and I'm going to go on a quest to see if I can collect cocaine for a drug lord, and then if I do a lot of these missions, then I'm going to be a drug lord one day. So this is a kind of storyline that you have in games like, for example, GTA. So there's nothing innocent about this game. You know, again, speaking to the intent, you know, people will say, okay, but I'm hitting someone or killing someone or shooting someone, but, you know, what is your intent? And you're not going to tell me, you know, if you've done this 10 times, it's not going to affect your emotions or it's not going to affect your spirit. You know, later on, you're going to have a complete loss of empathy for any kind of life, because once you've killed someone 20 times, doesn't matter if it's virtual or real,
yes,
there's going to definitely be a lack of empathy, you know, and that is why we have issues or stories of these people going in for mass murders. They just need the next high dopamine kick, and virtual is not enough. They have to go over into reality, and they start shooting people.
Yeah.
So you're not going to tell me there's no kind of spiritual influence in someone that can grab a gun and shoot 27 people in, you know, 27 hours or whatever, And you're going to tell me, okay, this is normal. There's nothing normal about it. There's definitely a big, big spiritual aspect to it.
Yeah, and, you know, Grand Theft Auto specifically, I do believe, you know, it pushes children into risky behavior. This game, we know, will glorify crime and violence. We see when you play the game, you will see prostitution there, and you will also see like prostitutes performing sex on each other. And again, to what do they hear? They hear these prostitutes moaning all the way. There is horrible music in GTA. So, yes, if you are a parent and your child is playing GTA, I would really, really rethink my position in allowing this type of game into my house.
So I would agree. Bring it back to the previous point when I was speaking on Diablo, it's again creating this kind of a thought that, you know, if the end is good, the means does matter. And this is exactly what, you know, the gaming developers want you to think. If I can use demonology and demons and spells to kill demons, then I'm good. Or if I'm going to use evil things in GTA 3, a prostitution or whatever, to defeat another drug lord, that's good. So this is what they do. You know, at the end of the day, you want to be the good guy. But do you really want to be the good guy by using bad things to get to the good guy? Because then you're not a good guy, you're a bad guy, you're a worse guy, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, the evil means to a good end. It's not the way to do things, but this is what they do. You still want to defeat the bad people, but you want to use bad things to defeat bad people. And that doesn't justify a good end in the end, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. But you know what? Another thing that we need to realize is that in our country, we have a massive problem, probably the worst in the world, with regards to gender-based violence, with regards to rape, with regards to violence against women and girls specifically. And Grand Theft Auto is promoting violence against women and girls, promoting prostitution, promoting absolute male dominance in this whole game. And then again, you know, what are you teaching your child when you're allowing a game like GTA in the house, not talking about subjects like gender-based violence, thinking that it's all right, thinking that it's fun, thinking that it's good, thinking that it's just a game. But, you know, all these subconscious, subliminal messages that you are teaching children is absolutely wrong. Now you get a child that is rebellious or not respecting his teacher, which we do see a lot. Not respecting, for example, his mother, not respecting women in general. And you are wondering, but where is this behavior coming from? But you do not realize maybe that this is exactly what these types of games are promoting.
Yeah, it's a really big problem. You know, I recall, you know, seeing a lot of videos of people hitting old women in GTA with a baseball bat and keep on hitting them.
Yes.
You know, it really gets so violent, and obviously, you know, the virtual person is dead, but you keep on hitting him. You want to see, you know, the blood and stuff like that. And I was like, but what kind of person would do this? Number one, you're killing a female with a baseball bat. Number two, why do you keep on hitting this female with a baseball bat? You don't stop. You know, so obviously there's something wrong, like really, really wrong with these games. You know, what kind of aggression and violence and rage that they teach our children. And like I was mentioning to you, if they expose their behavior for long enough, it's going to rewire your brain so that you think that that is normal behavior. And I think this is the main issue we have with children nowadays, is they've come to the stage with wrong behavior. They think that wrong behavior is acceptable behavior because everybody's doing it. You know, it's normal. I see it every single day. And I think that physically their brains are so rewired that they actually are convinced that what I'm doing is right. You know, and then you tell them that what they're doing is wrong. But because they've got a set standard of what they think is right, they're not going to listen to if you tell them that they are wrong. So it's a kind of a whole, like a brainwash kind of thing of our children nowadays getting used to a wrong behavior that is in opposition to any kind of authority, to think that that is normal and it should be like that.
Yeah,
that's a kind of rebellious kind of behavior, yes.
Absolutely, you know, and especially in South Africa where everything is really fragile, you know, and now a game like GTA promoting gangs, promoting crimes, promoting sex, promoting, you know, road rage and not respecting rules. So this is really, that's one thing. But you know what, Alred, another thing is the type of language that the players is using. You know, because when you play GTA, it's not, you're not on your own. You play with other people on this game. And we know that GTA specifically is, you know, people get angry on GTA and they are using horrible swear words. Now, say, for example, you have a 10-year-old or 11-year-old playing GTA, hearing all these horrible words, you know, and I'm going to just like all the F words and the N words and hearing these type of language over and over and over and over again. What is the chances that these children will not start talking like that in real life?
I mean, the chance is 100% because, you know, it's learned behavior. And it's not just about repetitive hearing of this kind of language. It's also, as I like to mention also, you have younger children hearing adult males talking like this. So the younger children, we have the built-in mirror neuron. So you want to basically identify yourself with an authoritative male, because you want to find your identity in someone like that. And this is what you hear. You're hearing a 30 or 40-year-old male swearing and yelling and screaming and hitting, and you think as an 8, 9, or 10-year-old boy, well, I suppose that, well, daddy is not here, so this is what an adult male should sound like when they get angry. And this is where they develop this new vocabulary all of a sudden in school. When someone provokes them, you hear this swear words come out that you've never mentioned in the house, and this is just because they think, but this is the proper way of acting when I get angry, and obviously escalating, you know, hitting things, and they go on to the next stage of bullying and hitting the people, you know, in the class. So you're only gonna do what you see have been done continuously. You're gonna follow in the footsteps, and this is also a biblical principle, because Jesus said very clearly, I do what I see the Father do. I say what I hear the Father say. So I follow my Father. So we have this built-in kind of mechanism, instinct almost, that we want to do what we see adult or father figures basically do. And the only father figure a lot of the children have are the adult male voices they hear on the other side. And not only in dialogue, but also in-game dialogue. If you think about Call of Duty, if you play the missions, there's a lot of swear words in the missions also.
Yes.
If you play the missions of GTA, there's a lot of swear words in those missions too. So it's not just about the dialogue you hear on the earphones on the other side of other players, but also in the dialogue of the games nowadays, and that is exactly why we have age restriction on the games, which is not always respected by the parents.
Yeah. Now, I must say, Aldred, like you know, we do talk about this a lot, where we warn parents with regards to the effects of gaming, you know, and we have also talked about this in the beginning of this podcast, of the effects of these stress hormones, these cortisol and adrenaline on behavior, and the effect that it does have on their mind, you know, pushing them into risky behavior, but also causing things like aggression, causing anxiety, causing ADHD, ADHD. So this is not something that we should ignore. My question is, do we ban this type of game altogether, or do you think that we can say, ah, but it's fine, you can play like an hour a day GTA or an hour of a day Diablo? Or would you recommend to say, listen, do not play these games at all, but if your child wants to play game, choose a better game?
Yeah, would agree. It's a very difficult question, but I would say, you know, there's an age restriction on the game for a reason. You know, you cannot allow a child of 10 or 11 or 12 years old to play Call of Duty. It's a 2 to 18 age restricted game, so there's no point. You shouldn't even allow that. It's not even half an hour is okay.
Yes.
And I would even say not even half an hour is okay, even if you supervise, if you play with them. Because what kind of example are you setting for your child? You know, there's the law, but I'm choosing not to obey the law. So what kind of precedent is that setting for your child? It's okay to disobey a law because, you know, there's a law here for a reason, but I'm not going to obey it because my father is next to me and he's okay with me playing the game. You know, that's violating the law. So, you know, it's very difficult. I would stay away from any demonic game. I mean, that's not even worth mentioning. I mean, demonic games are just wrong. Diablo, you know, even when I was playing this when I was in my mid to late 30s, and it left a lasting impression on my life. Now, I can just imagine someone that's in the early teens, what kind of effect does it have on the spiritual development of a young child? You know, it's mind-blowing to me that people can just give children free rein, play whatever you want for how long you want, it's okay, whatever. And if there's a problem, oh my goodness, let's send you to a counselor to fix the problem. That's not okay, you know. You're supposed to be the parent. You're supposed to be the guardian. You're supposed to guard the soul of your child. If you don't do that, I'm sorry, but then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So in my opinion, I would be very, 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 very aware of what kind of game I allow my child to play, and then also specifically even the time they play. Bring it back to a game like Roblox. It seems to be a very, very innocent game, but is it really that innocent anymore? Because you have a gaming platform where you know, rogue gaming developers develop new games, put it on a platform that everybody could play, and obviously that opens up doors to any kind of pornography. So no, Roblox is not innocent anymore. You know, like I said, it's not okay. You have to be very, very vigilant, you know, because I can tell you now, you know, some of these hackers and game developers are very, very clever people. They will, you know, get through all the kind of gateways or blockages they have for the game, and they, if they want to, they can present that content, and once it's there and when a child's been exposed to it for 5 seconds, it's permanent damage. It's
true.
Done. It's tattooed on their brain. Damage is done. Then you have a permanent problem with the child.
Yes. So just to end off, you know, I do agree that you shouldn't allow any form of demonic games. Also, you know, you should absolutely ban games with violence, criminal activities, or mature themes. But, you know, children today will be children. So with regards to, just to end it off, that you can allow some games in your house, you know, but please make wise decisions. Personally, I think, for example, like your sport games, your soccer games, that it will be a better genre of games to play. Something like Mario Kart, for example, you know. So there is better games. Obviously, your educational games is also better. So choose better games or games more wiser. And then with regards to screen time, just to confirm this again. So children under the age of 2 years old, zero screen time. You can give screen time to children between ages 2 and 5 years old, about 20 minutes a day maximum, but then you have to sit with your child and say, play the game or watch the YouTube video. Your primary school children, 1 hour a day screen time, and for high school children, 2 hours a day screen time, and that's the absolute maximum. So thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for listening. Aldred, thank you again for tuning in. Thank you for sharing your heart and your passion and your wisdom. You are much appreciated.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for the purpose again.
All right, everyone, have a good day. We will chat soon.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. True, authentic, Christian radio.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.